And that takes discipline, man. It's not easy. There's so many things that will try to take you off course and to keep you asleep or to keep you distracted or not be dangerous, right? But I really believe, man, if you want to make a difference in this world, you have to be fully awake. You have to be intentional, and you have to have an aim. All right, welcome back to Be Fit with Brian Pruitt. I'm your host, and I got a great episode for you guys today, man. I hope you guys are doing good. I hope you're doing well, and life is not absent of problems, but I hope that you're getting better and you're becoming more resilient, right? Because that's what I feel like is kind of the truth. That's the right way to go about your life, is to not run away from problems or maybe ask for an easier life, so to say, but to develop the strength and resilience needed to overcome it, right? To overcome problems and obstacles and issues, to overcome them and to find solutions and to win. That's what I'm after. That's what I want to do. And so let me just start off by saying a couple things. This book right here, As a Man Thinketh, it is no doubt. I saw someone, a buddy of mine, Ruslan, he's on YouTube, and he was talking actually about the self-help industry and self-improvement. And I've been I don't want to say victim to that, but I've definitely jumped in the rabbit hole, and I've searched through the self-improvement world, and I've tried to develop myself, improve myself. And that's a constant pursuit. And I think it's all well and good, but I just want to say first and foremost that you can keep searching for answers. But I want to say before I start this episode, I found every single answer in the person of Jesus, what he did in his lifetime, what he did in his resurrection, and what he does in my life today. That is the answer to all of my life's questions. So let me just say that first and foremost, I have not always believed that to be true. If you believe that, or if you don't believe it, I just hope that you can see the parallels in this podcast with look, if you don't believe in that, you can still get better. You can still learn. You can still grow and improve your mindset and therefore your life by putting into practice these concepts. But I do want to say that first and foremost. And I do want to say everybody who's reaching out to me on Instagram, I've been more and more vocal as I feel called to be on Instagram to share truth, what I believe to be true, and share more of that boldly and not really care about what people think. If they love it, then great. If they hate it, then great. It's all good. And I feel like so much of my life, I was strapped to people's opinions of me and if they approved of me. And, you know, I'm a people pleaser. I want people to be happy. I want people to have a great time, man. I am not interested in taking on a mindset of oppression or a victim mindset or trying to look for ways to stir people up. I'd rather people live in peace and live in joy, right? Fulfillment. But I used to be trapped by that. I jumped on my story and I talked about how I used to be like, that was a form of a prison in my mind because I wouldn't say certain things or maybe do certain things or not say certain things because of that idea in my head. So it was a limiting belief in the worst way possible because I was convincing myself I was free and I would think freely and live freely, but I was really living for people's approval. So that's something I've been learning. And I do want to say this before I jump into it. Last thing, thanks for hanging on so far before the episode really starts is, you know, I want to share something that is not to brag or not to, you know, act like I'm more spiritual, but what I hadn't done in the past is I wouldn't sit down and pray before my podcast. And, you know, for some people that's weird. Quite frankly, for me, it's almost necessary. At this point in my life, I've never stopped. I've never been in the scripture, in the word, and praying more than I have now. And that's great. Like, I realize that is an amazing thing. It's like a mountaintop moment that's been not just a moment, it's been more of a season in my life. And I know it's not always going to be that way, but I do want to encourage you. Like, and I mean, what I mean by that is you're not always going to wake up and feel like, oh man, I'm going to get up. I'm going to pray. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to start the day with gratefulness, right? Like sometimes it's just not, life is not that easy. But I say that to say, like, I've had this shift in mindset where I really just want to do, I want to do whatever God has planned for my life. Like I wanted to do things my way so much. And what I realized and what I found out was, man, you can plan your entire life and you can have the best, most ideal life planned for yourself, but it's not as good as what God has for you. And God's plan might not be an easy one. Like our plans for our lives might be the absence of trouble and the absence of heartache and different things. And that's our ideal life. But I don't feel like God wants us. That's not a part of God's plan all the time. So I say that to say, I want to start by encouraging you to find ways to maybe ask or invite God into your life. Because when I invite God into my day, starting in the morning and then throughout my day, you know, before meals, let's say that's where everyone starts, or that's where kind of the baseline is, you start to invite him into moments and you start to invite him into your day-to-day, you know, life in the car, sipping coffee, before a meeting, before a podcast. That's when I really think he shows up. And that's what God, in my opinion, wants from us, is for him to be involved. You know, so it's not like something, he's there for us when we're crying out and we have no other way or no other person to cry out to than him, or no other way to look but up when we're at rock bottom. But I truly think, man, he takes us to those spaces to change our mindsets and then to have us realize this truth of he's always been there. And it's just us being distracted, us being bombarded with other things that take up so much of our lives that keep us from seeing him. All right. So boom, that's a lot of stuff to throw at you guys, but I would feel like I would be not deceiving you guys, but I would feel like I wouldn't give you the truth if I hadn't said that. So it's not to sound more spiritual, right? I've haven't been spiritual or walking with Jesus for the majority of my life, but I do know that is what has been a game changer, absolutely a game changer in my life, in my relationships, in my business, in my mindset, in my fitness, the whole nine. Jesus has all the answers. So I say that to say, look, this is a self-improvement book. It's my podcast is going to help you stay fit physically, mentally, spiritually, but I know what I know. And so I'm going to tell my truth. You're listening to my truth. So if you don't agree and you don't want to hear it, that's fine. You know, I love you. You can turn the podcast off. You can find a million different podcasts that are probably way better, let's be honest, than my rambling and my lack of pauses and my ums and my other words, my fillers, right? But I hope that makes sense. So with that being said, let's dive into chapter 4 of As a Man Thinketh. So James Allen starts the chapter off with this quote, this idea: those who have no central purpose in their life fall easy prey to petty worries, fears, troubles, and self-pity, all of which lead to failure, unhappiness, and loss. So that idea is what I think is so relevant to today, because we have the unlimitedness of options. We have the never-ending slew of distractions. And with that, we can find ourselves being, you know, aimless. We can find ourselves being without aim. Or worst of all, I think in my life, when I look back, I thought I had a name, but it was meaningless. So yeah, just right off the bat, man, I'm asking myself, and I continue asking myself some seasons of my life more than others, but what is purpose? You know, what's my purpose? What's the purpose of why I'm here? Is it even possible to find my purpose? Should I find my purpose? If I can, should I, right? Or should I just stay distracted and I guess maybe deny what is more important for what's more comfortable? But I love what James Allen says. And again, alluding to the first part of my, what I alluded to at the introduction part of this is pulled directly from scripture. So, you know, when I have clients and when I go through my BeFit program, and I've implemented concepts that are biblical, but they can be applied to people who don't believe in God, who maybe are, you know, they believe in Muhammad, or they believe in Buddha, or they believe in, you know, the birds, like they worship the birds. I don't know. But the idea is, look, these concepts are eternal. These concepts will transform lives in a way, even if it's just from the structure of the concept. I believe there's nothing better than pursuing the truth and letting that be the absolute transformational tool in your life. However, again, like I said, that's why I'm sharing this stuff with you, because as a man thinketh can apply to so many areas of your life, not having to do with just spiritual, if that makes sense. So James Allen says, aimlessness is a vice. And so when I think about, and I think about times in my life, that's so true, man. In the same way, alcohol, porn, binge watching TV shows, mindless scrolling and overuse of social media, anything really that you look to as an escape, sometimes food. Sometimes people legitimately have they find their escape in food. And obviously none of these things that what I just said are healthy. They don't actually build us up. You know, have you ever watched porn and felt better about yourself or your day? Same thing with alcohol. Do we ever feel better when I'm talking blackout, do stupid stuff. You know, I've had my fair share of that. Trust me. I'll tell a story about Orlando. It was a season of my life. And actually, I'm just thinking about this now. It's interesting how it was the most aimless season of my life. And it was the same time that this funny thing happened. It's funny looking back now, because praise God, like, thank Jesus, he saw me through. But it was, I moved into an apartment complex with these four guys, like guys who I would consider brothers, awesome guys, you know, incredible people. And it was like, I think the first week I moved in, I had a buddy come in town and we got drunk. We went to downtown Orlando, you know, had a great time. It was fun, but obviously got too drunk, way too drunk. It was one of those days, one of those nights. And I ended up getting in the Uber home and I passed out. So I opened the garage and I passed out on the garage floor. And again, I laugh now. It's funny. And it's a funny story. And we laugh about it to this day. But I also don't want to overlook the deeper level of that. Like, that's a sad place to be at. I mean, if my life went a different direction, maybe that wouldn't be a funny part. Maybe I would look back on that moment and say, wow, that was when I could have woken up. That was when I could have started making different decisions. But I just stayed in that fog. I stayed dead. I stayed asleep to the things that really mattered. And it got worse and worse and worse. And before I knew it, I'd wake up and I'd be in a place where, man, I did not want to be at. I did not want to live in that space. So again, thank God that did not happen. But I'm just saying, we have to understand what's at stake. Okay, it's your heart, it's your mind, it's your life is at stake. So if there's a problem like that, that's growing, you have to take control. You have to do something about it. So again, vices, to bring it all back, aimlessness, it's a vice. And so to tie this idea together, it's not a coincidence that took place, that I didn't care enough to get super blacked out drunk and fall asleep in the garage, breathing in toxic fumes from the gas tanks that, you know, probably took years and thousands of brain cells off my life, right? Years off my life and thousands of brain cells. It wasn't a coincidence that those two things happened simultaneously. I graduated college. I moved to Orlando. I met an incredible group of guys who I still consider brothers, right? But I had no full-time job. I was working part-time. And I was searching. You know, I wanted to know, what is my purpose? And I looked everywhere. You know, I looked at myself. I looked everywhere. And I couldn't figure out what it was. And so I think for you listening, the world's going to tell you what your purpose is. You know, people around you, your parents, your friends, they tell you what's important or what you should deem as important or your purpose, right? But only you can decide what is your purpose. And again, I would say my purpose is to have a relationship with the creator and to find ways to maybe live my life in a way that's worship to him. So as I work, as I lift and work out, as I am a husband, as I make friends, make memories, have dinner, break bread, I'm almost in a state of worship. And that's how I want to be and stay in, because that's important. So that comes from a place of ultimate love, ultimate freedom, no fear and no worry, no anxiety, thinking, oh, what are people going to think of me? No, who cares? Am I going to make more money than this guy? Am I going to have a more successful career than my friends from high school? It doesn't matter. That stuff does not matter. But what does matter is having an aim. We are creatures of aim. We have to be aimed at something to orient our lives. I love Jordan Peterson. I think he's an awesome, awesome, he's a psychologist, but he's also a guy who's super smart. I mean, if you haven't done so, look up his, you know, if you're an atheist, let's say, look up his Jordan Peterson's lectures on the Old Testament and just listen. Because honestly, it reminds me a lot of C.S. Lewis when he was making a case for God from an atheist perspective, not Jesus yet, but he was like, look, let me just lay out the reasons why I think there's a God. And what I mean by God is not what you've been taught growing up in church or growing up in school. It's not this guy with an old guy with a beard and a sword or a staff. And he's like, oh man, these people need to, you know, these people down on earth, they need to figure this out. Or whenever you mess up, they're like, ah, I'm not proud of you. Or he's like, I'm not proud of you. But God being like a timeless, formless, all-knowing, all present being. And so that's a really cool concept, really cool concept. And I forgot how I got on that, so I'm moving along. So I think it kind of goes without saying that you have a couple different options, but I know a couple of things you shouldn't do. And one of them is, what you shouldn't do is continue living without purpose. What you shouldn't do is continue living for other people. What you should do is different. What you should do is conceive, as James Allen puts it, a legitimate purpose in your heart and set out to accomplish it. Make this purpose your supreme duty and devote yourself to attaining it. What I would advise is to make sure that achievement or that supreme purpose, that duty that you're devoting yourself to attaining, is one worth attaining. I always talk about, I always joke about, it's like, man, if we want to climb ladders, right? We want to climb the corporate ladder. We want to climb this the social ladder and be important, be popular. But if you spend your whole life climbing this ladder that you think is important and you haven't really began with the end in mind, you haven't thought about the end goal and what's on top of the ladder, you'll find yourself climbing this ladder and you will be on the wrong building at the end of the day. You know, you'll climb this ladder and you'll be like, this is not the right building. And that's why I think having the vision, having the purpose, it's so important. So a real practical way is applying this concept to your fitness. So many people are not happy with how they look. They're not happy with their physical fitness. They're not happy with how they look or function or feel, right? If you don't have a bunch of energy, if you don't have confidence and strength and discipline, I guarantee you feel lacking and you feel like, man, I got to do something about this. But so many people just live in denial and they don't want to actually confront the issues. They don't want to look themselves in the mirror and say, you lack in this department. You should do something about that. So I'm speaking to myself too. There's parts of my life where I can confront more and improve directly instead of running from it. But fitness is a great example, because the discipline and the action needed for fitness and looking and feeling great, it has to be consistent and it has to be doable and realistic. And so I'm using fitness as an example because it's so easy. It's so simple when you think about it. If you get fit, everything in your life improves. But the opposite is true. If you aren't getting better, if you're not taking intention with your physical fitness, you know, things get worse. you get more tired. You maybe fuel up on stuff that makes you feel crappy, and then you feel crappy the next day. And then you're like, well, I don't want to move. I feel crappier than yesterday. And then I'm going to eat like crap. And it goes on and on, right? So when you have that aim to improve yourself physically, that's why I really try to simplify it. Get 1% better today. Get 1% better. If that's a walk, when you would just sit inside and be on your phone or the computer or whatever you do to escape, then get outside and do a 20-minute walk, right? You will thank yourself later. So be super cognizant of yourself 6 months, a year, 2 years from now, and say, what would he or she be grateful that I did today? Because I guarantee you, it's like, when I look at myself in 6 months to a year, oh man, thank God you watched Tiger King, Brian. You are so much better off being up to date with culture. It's amazing. Good for you. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense. Keep the important stuff important and discard the stuff that doesn't help you. So know the purpose, set out to make it happen, and understand that action is not an option. Action is a must do. And the verse that comes to mind here is James 1:23. James, the brother of Jesus, says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror. And after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Right? So somebody who just hears and knows the right thing to do, knows the things that will help him, will be better for him, and doesn't actually do them, he's deceiving himself. You know, if you listen to this podcast and you aren't compelled enough to change something in your life, maybe eliminate a distraction or a vice, and maybe soul search, or maybe ask questions, and maybe get some more purpose, then you're deceiving yourself. I mean, in a loving way, I'm telling you that to apply a scripture to a practical everyday life is you can't just listen to stuff and expect your life to transform. You have to be willing to do the work. You have to be willing to take a step, to do the action. And the Bible says, man, the man or woman who does, they're blessed in the doing, not the hearing. I mean, it's great to hear. It is. And you're blessed in the hearing as well. But when you do, that is when you're blessed. He or she will be blessed in the doing. So get better and do. Take action. Here's a cool idea from halfway through this chapter is there's good news. Guys, there's good news, okay? If you do this, you'll most likely fail over and over again, but as you must, until weakness is overcome. So the character will be the measure of your true success. So it's not a trophy, but it's the character you gain in the process of failing over and over again until your weakness is overcome. That's the true reward. That's the actual trophy. So who you become while aiming at your life's highest purpose will be the prize. That's fire. That's so good. This will form a new starting point for future power and triumph. And therefore, you're better off now than you were before. Having the boldness and the faith to take action, you will fail. You will experience failure over and over again. But understand, it's not the failure that defines you. It is the person you become in spite of that failure, the person you become during that failure and through that failure. So that's the trophy, man. That's the prize, is aligning your life with its highest purpose and working toward that, aiming for that and working toward it. And that takes discipline, man. It's not easy. There's so many things that will try to take you off course and to keep you asleep or to keep you distracted or not be dangerous, right? But I really believe, man, if you want to make a difference in this world, you have to be fully awake. You have to be intentional, and you have to have an aim. All right. So with that being said, like, dream big, have a purposeful goal. One thing I'm learning to in this season of life is, man, I used to dream so small. I used to dream so small. I would play it safe. I still do in certain instances. And I hope you guys can see that and sense that and feel that is I'm not trying to give you advice I'm not taking myself. Right? I want to take advice, and I'm speaking this as truth because it resonates with my life. So I don't want to ask God for small things. I do, you know, he wants to be a part of your life. And I think it's healthy to bring him in your life and practice the presence of God. But ask, you know, have big dreams. Understand God's plans for your life are way bigger than what you think. They are way more crazy, way more wild than you ever could imagine. And so many times we settle in this life and settle for smaller dreams because we let the world and the enemy and the lies creep in. You are made in God's image and he has a purpose for your life. I believe in my own life, as I would believe for your life, is he's going to use your story. He's going to use those moments maybe in the garage when you're passed out, blacked out. He's going to use your moments when you're at your lowest point, right? When you maybe have a loss in your family, when you have a loss of a job, when there's a career change, when you have a loss of identity, right? When baseball stops being the thing you're defined by. He's going to use that and he's going to use it for your good. He's going to use it for you to tell your story. And in my belief, I believe that's going to bring him glory. That's going to bring God the credit. And so all glory to God whenever I realize that and share that with the world. And man, just to have an idea of what BFIT is, I had a conversation with the wife at dinner on Friday night this week. My goal for BFIT is so much greater than fitness. Fitness is the vehicle. But I believe men specifically are settling so much in this lifetime because society doesn't want us to be dangerous. They don't want us to think for ourselves. They don't want us to wake up physically, spiritually, mentally. They want us to live average lives. And I'm not the guy who's like, oh man, it's us versus them and this and that. I just think, man, there's an active thing pushing against you to wake up fully, become fully alive and realized so you can be dangerous for good. So you can build that business. So you can build that body, those relationships, that community, that idea that you have in your heart that God put within you. You're going to be able to realize and make that happen when you take your fitness seriously, when you take your mindset and your spiritual fitness seriously. So that's my goal for BFIT is, dude, if you want a six pack, we're going to get you a six pack. If you want to look a certain way, I'm going to get you there. Trust me. It won't be easy, but it's going to be worth it. And it's going to happen. It's only a matter of time, but there's got to be that commitment, of course. But it's so much more than looking a certain way. And it's so much more than driving a certain car or you know, seeming important. I feel like that's where a lot of people go in the fitness world. And it's like, dude, cool. Like, you know, people flaunt their stuff and that's great. If that works for you, man, do you, bro, like power to you. But I feel like, man, what's more important is the fact that you are living your potential and you are living for something greater than yourself. I mean, make no mistake. It's lonely at the top. Not that I've ever been there, but it's lonely at the top in this world, because guess what? At the top, you attain success in those cars and those jets and those houses at the expense of a lot of things that matter, relationships, serving, different things. And I'm not saying there's two ways to go about this. Is one is the prosperity gospel and the other is the poverty gospel. I don't think it's healthy to be on either side. You know, Proverbs, there's a proverb saying a righteous man, you know, someone who's wise avoids all extremes. I think it's Ecclesiastes actually, but it's like, you don't have to be the poverty, you know, to avoid prosperity, you know, like there's no problems and I'm going to manifest everything in my life and it's going to be beautiful and dude, screw everyone else and this and that. You don't have to then go to the other extreme and say, no, I'm not going to work on my fitness. I'm not going to make any more money than I need to. I'm not going to, you know, it's actually not good for me to make money. It's not good for me to dream big, because who am I? I don't want to take, you know, I don't want to be, no, screw that, you know, in a loving way, screw both extremes because they don't work. The truth is you have this individualized purpose that is God-given and you shouldn't try to imitate someone doing it necessarily if that's not who you've been called to be. If it's someone you're called to be, then emulate, imitate. As a Christian, I should be like the moon. I should not have a light of my own, But when I shine the brightest, it's because I'm reflecting the sun, and the sun is Jesus. So when I look to him and I become a mirror and I reflect his light, reflect his glory, that is my ultimate purpose. That's why the moon exists. You know, it exists to reflect the sun. And that's a beautiful way to maybe end that idea, is you have an individualized purpose. Don't look to other people as, oh, that's success because they're obvious about it, right? But it's understanding, dude, if you aren't reaching that potential, or you're not willing to do the work to reach your potential and see your potential, you're not being who God called you to be, right? And I'm talking to myself again. I'm talking to myself. So if you don't have a purpose yet, it'll come. I didn't have a purpose in Orlando. I was working part-time. It was some of the funnest moments of my life, but it was also some of the most empty, meaningless moments of my life, hence the garage floor, right? So in a funny way, I think life is like that. It was a lot of, you know, fun, and a lot of funny things happened, but I also was empty, and I was so unhappy deep down. So ask, seek, knock, look for your purpose. And in my belief, I mean, I found it. I told you guys at the beginning of this what I found and how that transformed my life. So until that happens, though, fix your focus on faultless performance of your tasks, however insignificant they seem. There's a great quote by Martin Luther King Jr. He talks about this idea of, look, if you don't have your highest purpose in life, or you find yourself doing tasks like, you know, you're just doing numbers for a business, you're just doing the accountant stuff, or if you're, you know, Uber driving, and regardless, there's nothing wrong with either of those. But if you feel like life is more than that, and you're kind of just begrudgingly going through the motions, understand, until this day happens, when you discover a higher purpose, fix your focus on a faultless performance. So Martin Luther King Jr., he says, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. Amen. That's it, man. I don't care if you're flipping patties, you know, as they say, or you're Uber driving, or you are working for a Fortune 500 company. You are the CEO of you know, Amazon, freaking Jeff, right? I don't care who you are. Do everything with all your might, all your strength, all your focus. Give everything you have to what you find yourself doing. And that right there, guys, is scripture. So that's Colossians 3:23. Look, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. So that idea it rings true in so many different books of scripture. Ecclesiastes talks about it, Solomon. The idea is, whatever you find yourself doing, do it with everything you got, okay? Because how you do one thing, however seemingly meaningless, is how you do everything. So take pride in what you do and let it become who you are. You just do things well. You do everything you do well. So James Allen goes on to say, just as the physically weak can make themselves strong by careful and patient training, be fit, so the weak-minded can make them strong by exercising and right thinking. That's really good, man, because look, again, if you're physically weak, you can get physically strong, but you can't avoid the careful and patient training of the process. You can't arrive, or you can't manifest, or just find yourself at the solution or at the end goal without the work. You have to be willing to do the work. All right. So as we kind of close, there's a something that happens right here. It's a mindset shift. When you put away aimlessness and weakness, you join the group led by a higher standard full of purpose, who only recognize failure as one of the pathways to attainment. Let me say that again. When you put away aimlessness and weakness, you join a group that's a higher standard. It's full of purpose. It is above average. It's not like the rest of society that wants to keep you asleep and average and you know, a bunch of other different adjectives, right? But you recognize failure as one of the pathways to attainment. You recognize whenever you fail at something, you just learn and you grow. And then that propels you to try again and to do better and to then eventually, right, you attain, you accomplish, you achieve. So what do you do? What to do now? Number one, aim straight at it. Find your purpose, find your goal, find your vision, and aim straight at it. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Know that you have to aim straight at it. And understand that doubts and fears should always be avoided. Not the ones that are natural. I mean, I'm not saying you should never feel fear, because it's, you know, fear is a good thing in some ways, but it's not a good thing to live your life based on fear. But fear, the feeling, the emotion, is obviously a natural one, and it can reveal some type of truth that you've been suppressing, or, you know, you haven't fully realized. So understand that. But to embrace doubts and fears and to accept them as society passes them down to us through television, through social media, through, you name it, dude, you just name it. There's so many different avenues. If you accept that, you'll never accomplish anything. If you take that to the extreme, you will never accomplish anything, because if you live on fear and doubt, you can't, because inherently in those words, in those nouns, those emotions, you can't accomplish it. It actually keeps you from doing. So if you're scared to maybe take the leap of faith to quit your job and do something else more meaningful, or if you want to get in shape and you've been avoiding that for so long because it's not easy, the fear, the doubt, is it worth it? Can I do it? I don't know. But if you live your way that, if you live your life that long, sorry, if you live your life based on that for long enough, you will become a shell of the person God's called you to be. And I know that to be true, because I've been the shell, man. I've been the shell. But I think in a beautiful way, I've broken through that shell, and I hopefully continue to grow, because I'm not accepting this idea, this mindset of fear and doubt and questioning and not believing in the plan, in God's plan for my life. James Allen ends this chapter with this quote. He goes, "The will to do springs from the knowledge that you can do." And so I think that's apparent. That's a very apparent to me in fitness, is the confidence and the motivation. You don't just like create that and then do, right? A lot of times that motivation and that momentum and that confidence comes from doing. You know, you again, to go back to the beginning, if it's a day where you normally just sit around and do nothing, a win for you, getting 1% better, is getting off the couch and walking for 20 minutes. So that right there, my friend, that's what can be so powerful, is that can look much different to some people. If you're crushing and you're doing like two different workouts a day, and you're doing, you're busy and you have all this stuff going on, then your 1% looks a heck of a lot different than that person who's just trying to get off the couch, right? But it's the idea of when you actually do it, when you get 1% better, you're blessed in the doing. You're blessed with motivation, with momentum and confidence. And so I would say my advice to you is act. Do something, act, because then from there, you're blessed in the doing with motivation. You will find more reasons to stay motivated when you actually do it. And just know, to finish that thought off, just know that he who's conquered doubt and fear has conquered failure. So to end that, this idea, this podcast, on a note that I think is appropriate, is, look, I don't care what you believe in, you know, where you live, what you look like, what you drive, what your political opinions are, what family you were born into, how much money in the bank, nothing of that matters. I want you to know what God says about the plans he has for you. When I think about the plans God has in my life for me, I go to Jeremiah 29:11, and he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." That is so, it gives me so much peace knowing, look, I can try so hard. I can look, what's my purpose in life? I can ask counselors. I can ask my friends, man, what's my purpose? What do you think is my purpose? And I used to do that. I used to ask people what they could see me doing. And what I've realized now is, look, you can do that. And you can maybe follow that purpose. But what you realize is you're gonna work, you're gonna live, you're gonna make decisions all based on what somebody else thinks your purpose for your life is. And if it's somebody else's purpose for your life, it's not God's purpose. And we've already established, look, God's purpose is way bigger than yours. And it's definitely bigger than the people in your life, as well-intentioned as they can be, right? As loving as they can be, it's much bigger than what they have for you. So God's plan is much bigger. My advice to you is to continue to seek your purpose. Continue to ask the questions. I heard a really good quote as I finished this episode up, is the quality of our lives are directly correlated to the questions we ask. And so I'm going to start doing that more. I'm going to ask more questions on this podcast. Like, you know, let me ask you, message me on Instagram, you know, comment on, you know, review this, rate it and reach out to me. What is your purpose? Are you having trouble finding that purpose? I think asking questions is everything, and I need to do that more and more, but I'm telling you, learn from me as I grow in this phase of my life is I've asked more questions in this season than ever before. And I think who you ask is super important too. So with that being said, man, that is the podcast episode for you guys today. I am fired up about this podcast. I want to bring in more people, more voices. So that way you don't have to listen to my voice 24/7, because I know how bad that can be and how painful that can be. But no, I think, man, what an important time to be alive is really, man, when so many people are living frustrated in fear, without purpose, without aim, we have the chance, we have the opportunity to step into our potential, to step into God's purpose for our lives, to wake up, to eliminate distractions, eliminate stuff that takes us off course, and to fully step into the life God has for us. So thank you for joining me on this journey. Thanks for following along. Again, rate this, reach out to me, ask me questions. You know, if you liked it, let me know. If you hated it, let me know too. And with that being said, guys, that brings us to the end. I want to remind you, be purposeful, be awake, and be fit. Okay, until next time, guys.